Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Wolder Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Oh boy, the debate. It's difficult to cover anything else. So much to talk about there. I have some insights, which I could not prepare the evening of the debate. I had to prepare them the next day, Friday. The day this is being taped, actually. I just had to get my head around a bunch of things and think through it, pray through some things, and here we go. In fact, I was wondering how to title this program because it has titles on different stations where this program airs. It has a title on the webpage. It has a title on the podcast. Those who are listening by AM or FM radio, there's no title. But I was going to call it, Are We Having Fun Yet? That didn't stick with me for more than about 3 seconds. And then I changed it to I Like It, I Love It, I Want Some More of It, which is a Tim McGraw hit. That's not really it either. And then it finally landed. The title of it is It Was All Part of the Plan. Okay, I am going to start this by first of all letting you know if you want to reach me, you certainly may. Red Sky Radio 777. @gmail.com, redskyradio777@gmail.com. I want to recap something, which I've recapped before, but I cannot have this discussion without starting with restating some things. That it was March, not this year, March of 2023, when I did the first program. In other words, 16 months ago, where I indicated I felt like, I couldn't say it prophetically, but maybe it was more of a prediction, that Joe Biden would not be the candidate. Now, this is before he's had the more recent onslaught of cognitive problems. He's always been dumb, and he's always been a liar. But he got elected being dumb and lying. So that's always existed. The cognitive issues were not so obvious 16 months ago. It's been since then that he started stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling. And, of course, the debate was a complete disaster. But it was also, as I said, I think, part of the plan. In that prediction, though, I indicated in March, Joe Biden of 2023, Joe Biden would not be the candidate. I also indicated that I wasn't confident Donald Trump would be the candidate, and I'm still not 100% sure. I still am not. I still am holding out on that. I can't speak to that prophetically at all, but I did state in there that in April, now 15 months ago, the very next month, was the first month, now fully believing Biden would not be the candidate, I was fully convinced the candidate would be Gavin Newsom. And I've said this over many times on this program over the last year and 3 months, even when Newsom was not on the radar. It was way before the DeSantis debate and all of that business. And I'm not saying that I am smart. I'm just saying this is what I sensed in my spirit. And I still believe that. And I said also that if Trump was a candidate, I sensed that Gavin Newsom would beat him. And I still think that. But those were my predictions. And all I can say at this point is that prediction number one came true. There is no way in the world I think that Biden can survive this, though he might. And I hope he does. If you recall from last week, and those of you who didn't hear last week's program, nobody other than Dr. Jill Biden, Dr. Joe Biden, nobody wanted Joe Biden to do better than I. Do I support him? Of course not. He's a leftist lemming with no brains, no morals, no guts, no nothing. He hardly even has a mouth anymore. But I wanted him to do well enough to stay in the race. Nobody is more beatable than Joe Biden. So why do you want him to get out when he is the easiest punching bag the Republicans have had in a long time? So I wanted him to do well enough to stay in the race. So that course, I'm tipping off some things. What cocktail mix did they give him at Camp David where he has to go there for a week to try to learn how to not stutter and focus? Wait, look, how do you cure dementia? If they got a drug at Camp David to cure his dementia, then we should get you that. We should be distributing that drug worldwide, right? Now, I always promise to start with good news, and I really haven't done that in this thing, but the debate sort of was good news. But I decided to go with a humorous open here. You know, if you've listened to me, how I love the Babylon Bee, and I have loved them a long time, way before anybody started listening to them. These guys are brilliant and incredibly funny. But they had a lead story a couple days ago that says Trump prepares for debate against Biden by going to nursing home and arguing with dementia patients. And I love this. I love it because everybody on the left calls Babylon Bee fake news. They don't try to be news. They're satire. The left doesn't get satire because it's about them and it's the truth. So Babylon Bee bills itself as fake news that you can trust. Love that. Trump prepares for a debate against Biden by going to a nursing home and arguing with dementia patients. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's move along here. So I just wanted, I wanted Biden to do well. I don't want another candidate. And so I don't think he can be salvaged. But that not being salvaged, I think, first of all, satisfies prediction number one from 16 months ago that he would never be the candidate. But it starts to lean into the next prediction that Gavin Newsom will be the replacement. More on him later. Obviously, there is no way to beat Trump at this stage unless there's a bunch of cheating, which we know that there will be because that's what Democrats do. But there's some things that are certain. I want to cover the things that are certain. I guess one I already have, that the prediction number one is going to come true. I don't see how it could not come true. But I don't know. What can he do to be salvaged? I don't think there's anything. Number two, under the things that are certain, since you want a weak Democrat candidate, right? You want the weakest one out there, and JB is the weakest one out there. But if he somehow gets pulled out, because what if he doesn't resign? He thinks he's great. He thinks he's cool. He thinks people love him. And if you can't, remember, he's got dementia. Try to reason with this guy. You can't reason with him. So you might, the left may have cooked up a potion that they themselves are now drinking in that this guy has got dementia so bad they've nursed him along, they've carried his water, got it so bad they now cannot talk him out of resigning or at least dropping out of the race. He may think that he is Clark Kent, Superman here. After all, he's got dementia. I've had clients that got dementia. They go cuckoo. They go off the rails some of the time. Not all the time, but all he's got to do is go off the rails some of the time. And I'll get to the 25th Amendment in a minute here, other than to say that if the 25th Amendment is pulled on him, the 25th Amendment says that unless the Congress acts, let's say he pulled out as president, he could reinstate himself as president under the 25th Amendment, unless Congress subsequently acts to yank him. But if JB pulls out, the Republicans have to go to the 25th Amendment. They have to. If he what you cannot have here is Biden pulling out of the race but staying in as president. I mean, consider this. If Biden is so cognitively challenged that he has to withdraw from the race, is he not too cognitively challenged to function and continue as president? Doesn't or shouldn't one lead to the other? Absolutely. Absolutely. Except that he doesn't have to. And they, meaning the left, will want to somehow keep him in as president but get him out of the political race. And why do I say that? Because if JB gets yanked, first of all, I got to explain, the 25th Amendment, the president can write something and send it to the, I think the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of the Senate, Speaker Pro Tem of the Senate, and say, I've got difficulties, I can't do this anymore, I resign as president. Now, if he resigns as president, then Kamala Harris is president. But without further action by Congress, if Biden changed his mind, and trust me, dementia patients are in and out of la-la land and so forth, he could change his mind and say, no, I'm back in again. And they'd have to honor that unless Congress then acts and say, no, you're bats, you're gone, get out of here. But the left, understand, the left wants him out of the race, but the left does not want him out of the presidency, because then Kamala Harris is president, and she just may think that she wants to run and be the big kahuna. I think she does, but I don't know that. But that's my gut sense, is they've added another dimension to the convention in August. If Harris doesn't go there as vice president, but goes there as president. So they need to keep Joey Brain, no brains, as president, but the Republicans need to act and get him out of there. They need to bring an action to force him out and make Harris be president. Why? Because after Joe Biden, the easiest person to beat on the left for Donald Trump is Kamala Harris. So if he's gone, I want her to want to be president. Hope this all makes sense. Makes sense to me. So you got to get Harris in there ASAP. And that will be a temporary salvaging attempt. And maybe it is the go-to attempt. More importantly is I think that it does something to weaken Gavin Newsom. However, and this is a however in all caps, there is talk, Newsom and Harris are chummy-wummy. There's talk that they have cut a deal that he will endorse her for governor of California if she does not pursue the presidency. And she's incompetent at all levels. Understand that. She shouldn't be allowed to run a dog compound. However, I have to tell you, last night watching CNN, I watched CNN and MSNBC. I actually didn't watch Fox, mostly Newsmax. She spoke extremely well in defense of Biden. It was the most coherent speech without any notes that I've ever heard her give. I don't think I am concerned about her being the candidate. I really am not. But I don't think that that's part of the plan. I think she is a get up and get gone if Joey is not around. But right now, she's doing her part, the stand-up supporter. Next, what is this, point number four? There really was absolutely nothing new during the debate. What are you thinking? I know what you're thinking. What? I mean, the way Biden was acting, no, there's nothing new. The only thing new is that the world had a chance to see it. He's been this way for months, if not maybe pushing a year. But the left has covered his rear end. The media are lap dogs that have carried his water. There was nothing new. Maybe the only new thing was Trump kind of held it together a little better than he usually does. And I do have to say, I rather like the format. I don't think that Trump got as many rebuttals as Biden did. And I got actually livid at Trump at a couple of points for not answering the simple question. Part of that, of why he was not answering the question, he went back to the previous question like five or six times, was because he didn't get rebuttal. So he had to create his own rebuttal. But I was glad the host forced him to answer some questions. Biden was full of lies. He always has been. In fact, you know, I read the other day, somebody has actually tabulated his speeches, calculated, and since he was inaugurated, he lies on the average of 21 times a day. Now, he doesn't speak every day, so that means there are speeches in which he may have 30, 40, 50 lies, and then maybe he repeats that lie, but averages 21 a day. But I also have to be straight up here. Donald Trump had some fabrications, some things that were not true. Like if you vote, speaking to the moderators, if you vote for Biden, and I know you guys support him, your taxes are going to triple, maybe go up four times. They can't go up four times, Donald. These are people who are already in the 30-35% tax bracket. If they go up four times, they're in the 140% tax bracket. Impossible. They can't even double. Really. Never get that through Congress. And he had some other things that were wrong. But he did well in his boasting. Do I support him? Of course I do. But you see, there was nothing new tonight. And the Dems, the Democrats, created a problem. This is all of their own making. They have covered Joey No Brains for so long and attempting to, and then Jean, Karine Jean-Pierre, lesbienne, this is about the only one still supporting Biden. They have done this for so long, they have created their own problem, which leads to the next conclusion, conclusion number five here. Why was the debate scheduled so early? Why was the debate scheduled earlier than any debate has ever been scheduled in a presidential campaign? Meaning a non-primary debate. Yeah, there have been earlier debates, obviously, for primaries, but not for the office of president. Well, this is the reason. And we're getting to the complicity of the media. From the get-go, comes down to this. We've been the lapdog for Biden so long. How do we get out of Dodge and save face doing it? We got to look credible. It's like all their polls, which are wrong. I mean, their polls don't reflect opinion. They ask questions and create polls that are intended to create opinion. And then on the last day, they will change their polls to agree with Rasmussen so that they can then say, we got it right, even though they only got it right in the last 10 hours. But all up to that, they'll be doing something. That's what they've been doing here. They've been covering for Biden, and trying to get, and now they schedule, get an early debate scheduled for this reason. If JB crashes and burns, which he did, they have time to recover. And in the recovery process here, they can claim that they were fair and balanced because they just beat the crap out of Biden on TV the other night. MSNBC, Joy Reid, it doesn't really matter. CNN, they all David Axelrod, they all say he's toast. They all uniformly beat the tar out of Biden because they all got the same memo. This is an early, this is our opportunity to dump this guy. The sooner the better so we can recover and parachute in our selected replacement. But we got to do it right now. They all got the same memo. And you've seen the memos they get. It's like those little montages where they have 27 different anchors saying the vaccine is safe and effective. And gazillion people are part of a montage where they say the Russian collusion of Trump, the laptop, all state. I mean, I've seen these things. They actually read the same words. How could they all be identical saying the same thing if they didn't get the same memo? Number six here, which is kind of related to number five. To the insightful people, and I don't want to say if you didn't see this, you're not insightful. And I'm not saying I am. I just sort of live and breathe this stuff. So I would be the ultimate duh guy if I didn't pick up on some of it. But to those paying attention, the media shock is anything but shock. It is the consummate, ultimate deep fake. They've been covering all this time that the real deep fake, the debate, gives them the opportunity to bail out on Biden without looking complicit, which they certainly have been all along in propping him up and now in dumping him. I mean, why else would you have this early schedule? So all the shock and awe from this deep fake, like they're all just, oh my gosh, we can't believe how he collapsed. Let me ask a simple question. Who knows better that Biden has been this way for a long time than the media that's been covering up? They can't say they were surprised. They're the very ones that have been covering it up. They're the ones who know who's behind the curtain. And then they get to look like heroes here by pulling back the curtain on Biden. They cannot be shocked. They have known all along that he's a dunce. He's always been a liar. He's always been stupid. But he's not always been this cognitively challenged, but he has been for a long time, and they keep putting up with it and covering him at every opportunity. And now they get together and say, okay, here's the memo. If he crashes and burns, which he did right out of the gate, I mean, the deer in the headlights look on the guy. There was nobody home. The elevator didn't make it to the top. In fact, the elevator went to the basement mentally with him. And the other thing with this is consider the speed with which they acted. Not only is the mainstream jointly acting, but they're instantaneously acting. That is not reactionary, that is intentional. Oh, you got a few that are still propping them up. Cammie Harris has to. Donna Brazile, but who really pays attention to her anyway? She just probably isn't on the email chain. So I will say one other thing, though, because it's a fact. What is it? We're up to number what? Six, number seven here, I guess it is. That's not necessarily related to anything I've said. It's just simply a fact I'm going to state because it's true. If if, above all things, miraculously, Joey Kornpop stays in the race and he wins, you would need no further proof of voter fraud. No voter fraud proof is necessary. If the guy who has a vacancy sign in neon flashing on his forehead wins, it could only be voter fraud. Now, I think it's going to be voter fraud no matter who it is. Michelle, Hillary, we could get her, but I think Newsom, they won't take any chances. They can't take any chances. There'll be voter fraud. It's just that some will need less voter fraud than the others. Joey No Brains needs 100% voter fraud. Okay, point number 8 or 9 here. I should have done A B C D E F G H. I'm on H. I think I can fit this in before the break. Consider, this is scary, and this actually leads into the Newsom piece. The focus I heard, I don't care whether it was Fox, Newsmax, which actually surprised me a bit that they would focus on this, but that's MSNBC, CNN. I was jumping around only a little bit with Fox, maybe just a few seconds, but the other, they were all focusing on what? The optics. The optics. The deer in the headlights. The gaping mouth shots of Biden standing there, not blinking, catatonic, with his mouth open. And the substance was essentially ignored. Now, Trump hit on the things that he needed to hit on. I don't think it was a great debate for Trump. It's just that he did not have to do well to beat the crap out of Biden because Biden beat the crap out of himself. But I don't think it was a great debate by Trump. He said some things that were great, particularly two things, and I need to mention them, and I'll get to this optics things probably after the break. But what a setup, what a layup, what a softball Biden gave to Trump when Biden witlessly said, "We beat Medicare." And then Trump responds with, "Yeah, you beat Medicare, all right. You beat it to death." That was a great, that was a layup. That was an easy one. The other time, though, which was, I think, was the highest point for Trump in the whole debate, was not when he was beating up Biden. It was actually when he was nice to him. And he said, "You know, I really, really wish you had been a good president. I really wish you had done a great job, because then I wouldn't have had to run again. I could be going to one of my properties," which he didn't need to say, didn't need to talk about how many properties he's got. He's got, still got this narcissistic ego thing that gets finds its way out of his mouth sometimes. But he went on to say, "I could just be enjoying myself, doing other things. But I'm here because I have to, because you're the worst president in modern day history." And you are. He is. Biden is the worst. He actually beat Barack Hussein Obama. But he said, "I didn't want to run, but you compelled me to. I'm really sorry that you've done such a lousy job." That was Trump's high point. It resonated. It was heartfelt. And I think it was heartfelt for a lot of people listening as well. To me. Yeah, I wish Joe Biden would get saved and become pro-life, anti-queer, anti-tranny. I wish all of that. Didn't happen. Don't go away. We're just getting started.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Mary Mac, dressed in black, silver buttons all down her back. High low, tipsy toe, she broke a needle and she can't sew. Walk in the dark.
Thank you, Rufus Thomas, for that song. I love that song. I got the 45. That's how old I am. Why did I play that? Because no matter how many buttons, how much you sew them up, I'll tell you, the Dems have been walking the dog with Joey Biden. He is a dog. He's been a dog for a long time. No matter how they've dressed him up, he's still a dog. Okay, back to my points. The focus on optics. That's what everybody's talking about. And I see it's undeniable, but how many people are making decisions based on the optics? Well, it's obviously there's no one at home. There are no lights on upstairs with Joe Biden. Even though he said some things that were true, he said a bunch of lies. He said some things that are true. Trump said a lot of things that are true. But he also said some things that are not true. Whether it's bravado or boasting, however you want to describe it. But the whole focus has been on optics. How did he come across? People are making a decision based on optics. That's why I want to bring up the next point. Optics made JFK president. Optics on TV, first televised debate in U.S. history. Optics made JFK president. He killed Nixon with optics. Joey Biden killed himself, committed optical suicide last night. So the optics matter. The optics got JFK elected. The optics got JB taken out. And this is what concerns me almost to the point of being fearful. Optics in a world with Donald Trump against Gavin Newsom. We'll go to Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom, he's evil. He's evil personified. He doesn't need anyone to tell him what evil's to do. He comes up with them himself. He's from the pit of hell. If there were a vote for Antichrist today, he would be get my vote. But he's also tall, trim, nice-looking, well-dressed, generally well-spoken. I think you can get under his skin, but nobody's really had that chance, or he's never been televised. He didn't do that well against Ron DeSantis. But I think he would beat Trump in the optics department. This is where we are. We're a stupid world. We're a country that is focused on the flesh. And biblical proof for that reads 1 Samuel chapter 8. I preached a message the Sunday after Obama was sworn in, or got elected. I can't remember which. So this is a president we've elected. Somebody who's appealing to the flesh, the tall, dark, handsome guy. And Samuel told the people, this is a president you've elected. He's going to tax the daylights out of you. And Israel didn't even have a tax. He's going to take your best bakers, your best men. They're going to all work for the government, and it's going to be horrible. And then the day is going to come when you say, deliver us from this king. And then God will say to you, I will not hear you. You want somebody after the flesh? You got somebody after the flesh. And I think this country, there's a lot of good people. I'm not sure they're in the majority. Newsom to the flesh, which is the most dominant attraction to maybe the majority of the people in the United States. That's how far we've sunk. I remember talking to a woman who's a diehard conservative. I was shocked when she told me she voted for Obama. And I said, why? She said, well, he just speaks so well. I like what he says. So I said, so you're into a charismatic liar? The devil, the Antichrist is going to be charismatic, folks. He's not going to show up with 17 warts on his face, 3 eyes and 4 ears and who knows what else. No. He's going to be charming, attractive. He's going to woo people, the ones who have no spiritual discernment. And those who vote for Gavin Newsom have zero spiritual discernment. So in the optics world, I think Donald Trump would lose to Gavin Newsom. And the optics seem to be driving people's decisions. And I got to tell you, nobody hopes I'm wrong more than I. So, actually, you could think about it. Consider just what happened this week. Gavin Newsom gives a State of the State address. He doesn't do it in person. The State of the State address is all about national issues. He has been enlusted for presidency for a long time. And then the piece that almost nobody knows or pays attention to, but you're going to know about it because you're listening to this program. Gavin Newsom moved. His term in Sacramento doesn't end for a couple of years. And what did he do this week? He moved to Marin County, his home. He went back home, got his kids enrolled in a $60,000 a year high school and elementary school. Why? Who wants to live in Sacramento if you're president? Marin's his home. He's already planning on his Western White House. I mean, Schwarzenegger had his home in Bel Air. That was his real governor's mansion. Nixon had Key Biscayne, I think, I forgot where it was. It's in Southern Orange County. There was his Western White House. The Western White House for Gavin Newsom, he's already picked out. He's moved his family back to Marin County. He is governor, and he's left Sacramento 2 years early. Why? Because the fix is in. At least I think so. How do you beat this guy? I mean, has this not already been planned? Yeah, I think it has been. Because who do you got here? You got basically Michelle, Hillary, and Newsom. Hillary will always lust for it. She's lost twice. She's just, her lousy derriere will always find a place to plop down in front of a camera and talk about how she got ripped off and deserves to be president. One scorched woman by her husband and by people. Michelle is a question mark. I think maybe what last night got her closer to doing something, but I don't think she's part of the plan. She's laying low, as Newsom has to lay low. He's got to get called in because he can't come charging in. He needs a white knight persona, a white knight image. He's got to be called in, as does Michelle. All like saying, well, you know what? I wouldn't have done this except the situation is severe, it's grave, and of course we want to save democracy. Of course, the way they save democracy is by destroying it, but that's our definition of democracy. We all need to bow down and pay homage to a whole bunch of governmental left-wing bureaucrats. That's saving democracy to them. The only, and I say the only disadvantage Newsom has, I'm sorry, Newsom, is he's not really a team player. I know this guy. I mean, not personally. I mean, he's a devil incarnate. He doesn't need advice from George Soros or Barack, or Schumer, or Pelosi, or Klaus Schwab. He is the guy, he is the personification of the very evil that all these others collaborate to bring upon the United States. He is the Antichrist in a Brooks Brothers suit. He's lusted for the job, moved his family. The fix is in. I mean, goodness sakes, this is a guy, he doesn't care about the law. California had a constitutional amendment prohibiting queer marriage, and he violated it, just went down, pronounced some queers, blessed their sodomy down somewhere around the Bay Area. He just said, screw the law. Forget the mask mandate as he shows up at the French Laundry having a nice little parlay, soiree parlay at the French Laundry place without a mask. Go right on down the line. The guy's a hypocrite. He doesn't think he's above the law. He thinks he is the law. What he does is the law. And there is nobody who loves queerdom, sodomy, tranny, and killing innocent unborn children in the womb more than Gavin Greaseball Gruesome. This guy's got so much blood, baby blood dripping from his eye teeth, he makes Count Dracula look pro-life. And if he's a candidate, you will see the real, I mean, the depths and darkness of the evil emerge from this guy. I mean, it's awful. Now, I haven't shared with you before, going back those many, many months, why I have had this incredible burden, almost to the point of weeping, about the prospect of Gruesome being president. I mean, folks, I hope the second half of this program just is totally irrelevant. I hope this never arises. But I'm sharing it now to be in prayer. But I'm going to share with you why I was so burdened 15 months ago, almost to a point of tears, of weeping. And it comes from 2 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to try to end on a little brighter note here. But 2 Kings chapter 8. Now understand, I am not Elisha. Whether this was prophetic, we'll find out. I've said it as a prediction, maybe to cover myself, because I don't want to say prophetic, because I don't feel like I have a prophetic ministry, even though I have spoken prophetically in the past. It's prophetic that I found out later was prophetic. I didn't know it at the time, but I'm going to share with you what hit me 15 months ago in April of 2023, and it dealt with the prophet Elisha in chapter 8. And there's a man who comes to Elisha to ask him a question about whether the king is going to recover from this illness. And Elisha says to him, this is pretty interesting. Elisha says, yeah, go tell the king that he's certainly going to recover. Howbeit, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has showed me that the king's going to die. I mean, I've heard all along, Biden's going to be, you know, Biden. But I knew that he wasn't going to be the candidate. Absolutely knew it. Yeah, you can talk like he is, but I knew that he wouldn't. Sort of like, yeah, tell the king he's going to live, but he's going to die. But it gets deeper than that. Then Elisha settled his countenance steadfastly upon the man. And he was ashamed. And the man of God, Elisha, wept because what God had showed him. And the man to whom he was speaking, Hazael, said, why do you weep, my lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that you will do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will set on fire. Their young men you're going to slay with a sword. You will dash their children and rip up their women with child. Elisha knew that Hazael was actually only there as a spokesman and as a surrogate for the king who was sick, Ben-Hadad. Gavin Newsom was at that debate last night as a proclaimed surrogate for Joe Biden. He was there representing Joe Biden offstage as surrogate. He was the Hazael, Ben-Hadad is the Biden. He's there doing Biden's bidding, allegedly. But then Elisha says to him, God showed me. You're going to be the one. You're going to do these things. You're going to rip up the children, the women with children. Nobody supports partial birth abortion more than Gavin Newsom. Kill the young men with a certain, the children are going to suffer. What you're going to do to the children? It was part of the warning. What's he doing to the children? There is nobody who supports this tranny bullcrap more than Gavin Newsom. And then Hazael says, "Are you, what is I servant? Am I a dog that I would do this thing?" In other words, it's like Newsom saying, "Do you think I'm here to steal the nomination from Joe Biden? Of course not. How dare you even say that?" It says, "The Lord has showed me that you're going to be king over Syria. This is where I came from. This is a passage. I felt like God showed me that he's going to be president. I am so hoping I've missed this." So what does Hazael do? He departs from Elisha. He comes to his master, who said to him, "What did Elisha say?" And Hazael said, "Well, he told me that you're going to recover," which we know that was not the case because Elisha said it was not the case. "But it came to pass on the very next day," the very next day, "that Hazael took a cloth, dipped it in water, spread it on Ben-Hadad's face so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead." At some point here, I think very soon you'll see Newsom put a cloth of water, a watered-down cloth, over the mouth of Joe Biden, figuratively speaking. And then he will immediately assume the front-runner position. That is the passage that summarizes and explains the deep burden that I have had for 15 months for who I consider to be the most wicked person, frankly, in the United States, Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Now, I want to shift with a little bit of optimism here, a little bit. First of all, I really hope I'm wrong. Second of all, I hope Trump beats whoever there is. But I'm going to fall back to something. You've heard me talk about him before. He's been silent. He's been out of the way. He's never talked about as a VP candidate, not even mentioned anymore. The guy I have wanted and I think is the best candidate all along from a qualification standpoint is Vivek Ramaswamy. Why am I finishing with this? Because in my mind, I'm going to give you 10 reasons. 10 reasons here dealing just with Ramaswamy. Number one, I think he is the only person on the Republican side who could convincingly debate and beat Gavin Newsom. He's smart. He's quick, uncannily quick, sometimes too quick. Intelligence off the chart. And he's obviously more moral. Number two, he was the only one, out of all the Republican candidates, he was the only one to support Trump wholeheartedly. Right from the very get-go, he called Donald Trump the greatest modern-day president. He is the only one, Donald Trump, if for some reason he was in jail and he couldn't run, who knows what, he's the only one that he could confidently endorse as carrying out everything that he hoped to do. He's the most loyal, faithful person in that whole Republican slate of candidates. Also, the smartest, the quickest. He is the most natural endorsement. He is the one that if Trump endorsed him, every single MAGA supporter would vote for Vivek Ramaswamy. Absolutely. Number three, he's Donald Trump, with one exception. He's actually more moral than Donald. He holds some higher moral positions than Trump, certainly on abortion, on queer crap. Ramaswamy is the most moral candidate other than Ron DeSantis and that whole Republican panoply, and DeSantis is not the man. Number four, the left is going to try to out-youth Donald Trump. This is why the optics matter. The young, dashing, good-looking, trim, well-dressed, well-spoken man from California against Donald Trump and the orange hair, the optics don't favor Trump. But the fact is, point number five, Ramaswamy out-youths Gavin Newsom by about 18 years. Point number six, he's the only candidate with any business experience. Any. There's no Republican candidate or any Democratic candidate in years that has any business experience. And as Calvin Coolidge said, the business of America is business. I don't want government experience. Number seven, he is not, and I will admit this, he is not as telegenic as Gavin Newsom. But his youth and his intelligence and his quickness, I think, gives him the best chance to overcome the telegenic difference that likely exists. Number eight, I think he could attract more minorities than Newsom and maybe any other Republican candidate. Number nine, should he possibly be Trump's running mate? He is Trump's insurance policy. He's Trump 2.0. They would never want to assassinate Donald Trump if they're going to get Vivek Ramaswamy, the one who wants to eliminate the Department of Education, which I totally support, and whack the budgets of the DOJ, the Homeland Security, the FBI, Department of Energy, you name it. And number 10, and I think this may be the most important and most telling point of all. The mainstream media, right up to including some politicians like Mitt Romney, they hate Vivek Ramaswamy. And if they hate him, what does that tell you? That means they fear him. They fear him. So they're going to try to degrade him, disgrace him every way possible. Fortunately, he doesn't have a negative track record or much of a track record to attack, but that won't stop him from lying. But if they cannot, if they get so twisted in their underwear attacking Ramaswamy, that tells you that he is their worst nightmare. Now, who am I supporting? Obviously, I'm supporting Donald Trump. I think Ramaswamy should be his running mate. He's Indian. He's sharp. He's going to attract some youth, minorities. He's got to develop some skills in his delivery because he can be off-putting, but he's a smart guy, and he can be coached. He can be trained in that way. Don't give up on substance. Just change the form. Don't give up on your values. Just present a different set of optics for an optic delusional world to look at. But if Trump doesn't make it there, then he's my guy. And if Trump does make it, I think he needs him, especially if Newsom is on the other side. Because it may be, if what I read from Scripture, in fact, was a biblical, spiritual inspiration for my having said what I said 15 months ago about Newsom being the candidate, Biden not being the candidate, If that was the origin, and then that tells me, as it does in Scripture, that Gavin Newsom is the pinnacle of God's judgment on this country. Now, does that mean he can't be beaten? Yeah, I suppose he can be beaten, I guess, with God's blessing, because he'll bring out the worst of the Democrat Party. All the fangs will be bared. We'll see that the guy's really a blood-sucking vampire. And the worst president, he will make Barack Obama look like a schoolboy, and he'll make Joe Biden look like an Episcopalian priest, which isn't all that great. That's where we are. Time to pray. And please, please, please share this message with others. Get it out to the people you love. Get it out to the people you don't love. This is Robin Walter encouraging you to sit tall on the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.